Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Fan Experience TV. I am your host, Mike Kados. Alongside me is my co-host, Rick Molina. Rick, how are we doing? How was your weekend?
Whoa, whoa, Mike. Good. It was a good weekend. It's good seeing you. Got a little shopping done, a little exercise, a little bit of relaxing, and now back to sports and back to the grind. We got the Knicks on right now. They're down 6-20-14 in the first quarter to the Spurs. We got to get to the big story of the day, J.J. Yep. Watt signing with the Arizona Cardinals.
Somebody else was shopping.
Yeah, exactly. The Cardinals went big for him. He felt like it was the right place for him and his family. And so J.J. Watt signs with the Arizona Cardinals. I'll save my thoughts after yours. Just want to hear what you have to say regarding the signing of J.J. Watt to the Cardinals.
J.J. Watt to the Arizona Texans. he reunites with D-Hop. And D-Hop did say a couple weeks ago that he wanted him to come there to finish what they started. J.J. Watt sends Kyler Murray a text saying he's coming there because he believes in him. And it's not a coincidence that, you know, Kyler Murray wins at every level. So he definitely thinks that they could be a contender. And you know what? Kyler Murray's just finished his sophomore year. He didn't do too bad. He was injured for a little bit, I believe. He was hobbling for a couple of those games.
Hobbling for a little bit, yeah.
And obviously, the iconic Jumpman, Hail Murray, with him and DeAndre Hopkins, that nobody knows how to swat a ball down.
Especially if you're in the Buffalo secondary.
But Buffalo won every game after that.
Yeah.
And they went to an AFC championship game, and they lost to what we thought was a better team. But
apparently not. Yeah.
It did not play out that way. But does that make them a contender? And we still have those whispers of Russell Wilson not demanding a trade, yet he has a short list of teams that he would go to if he just so happened to be traded. So we could read between the lines there. A trade could certainly happen. You have a newcomer, Ashwin, hello. And yes, we had to mention your Buffalo Bills in that game. But yes, Russell Wilson could be on his way out. Matthew Stafford's on his way in to Los Angeles. Can Deshaun Watson go to San Francisco? We will see. And that would make that division a lot more interesting.
Indeed.
There's still a lot of time left before the draft, a lot of time left before the season. This is not going to be the biggest news that we're going to get, especially with that Wilson-Watson stuff still up in the air. Watson's going to get traded before the season starts.
I think so. I'm with you on that.
I do not care what they say.
Yeah. They're just waiting for the right package.
Yeah, exactly. They're not. If Watson said he's playing another snap, so what are you going to do? You're going to just pay the guy his money and pay that man his money.
Teddy KGB making an appearance.
Oh, you watched that movie.
Of course. Whoa, look at that. This is a classic. We'll get into it later.
Let's say, of course, when you haven't watched half the pop culture movies that are.
But look, I think for the Cardinals, this is a good move. They're going for it. They realize they need some help on the defensive side. They get some help for Chandler Jones on the other side of the ball. And J.J. Watt is 32 years old. Right. Patrick Peterson, J.J. Watt's 32 years old. He's trying to go for it. Are the Cardinals a win now team? I think they are. Are they a Super Bowl contender? I'm not sure. I don't know yet. We still have to wait to see what Kyler Murray can do. Right. He's a great quarterback, tremendous talent, tremendous arm talent. We still have to wait and see. And is Cliff Kingsbury the guy over there? That's the other thing. You can add Watt, but you got D-Hop, you got Kyler. They went 8-8 last year. Does this get them two extra wins, three extra wins? I think it's a wait and see approach. But they're bold. They're going for it. That division is going to be tremendous. If you're right, if San Francisco finds a way to pull off a trade for Deshaun Watson with Russell Wilson in that division, with Matthew Stafford, right? And here's the thing, and we were talking about this off air. If you're Russell Wilson, dude, and you look across the line 8 times in a season and Chandler Jones and J.J. Watt, Aaron Donald coming after you. You see, I'm trying to think who else out there in that division. Joey Bosa with the Chargers coming after you.
Yeah, it's Niners.
Niners, excuse me.
Yeah. Or is it Nick Bosa?
Nick Bosa, right.
Bosa's Chargers, yeah.
My God. Of course you want out of there. So I think it's exciting for the NFC West. I think he got out of a bad situation in Houston. He's going to go for it. So it's going to be interesting to watch. But it's definitely the NFL, man, never ceases to amaze you. They are always in the news. They are always creating hype for the league. Mm-hmm. And it's just incredible. But good job for him. He feels comfortable down there. And now we're waiting for the other shoe to drop. Who's the next quarterback to move? That's the question.
Yeah, and it's going to happen. It's might not happen overnight. Maybe it's not going to be a trade. Maybe somebody picks up a quarterback. It's one of these quarterback needy teams because the Washington football team.
Correct.
Not to be confused with any other name.
Correct.
They have released Alex Smith, and Alex Smith still wants to play. We'll see how that shakes out.
Yeah, the NFC East is, I think, the worst division in football right now. And Washington is going to draft a quarterback in this draft.
So you don't think they extended Heinicke?
I think if you're the Washington football team and you're rebuilding and you get a chance to draft one of these guys, whether it's Zach Wilson or Trey Lance or Justin Fields, it wouldn't surprise me if they made a move to move up. It wouldn't even surprise me if they traded with the Jets to pick up Sam Darnold, which I think the Jets are going to hold on to him. I don't know why. I just get the sense that the Jets are going to hold on to him. They're going to move back in the draft. I keep hearing about this kid, Kyle Pitts, out of Florida, who's just ridiculous. I heard it on the Herd today. He's talking about how incredible the guy is. But the Washington – there's just four or five teams that need a quarterback, and they're going to make a move, and I think the Washington football team is one of them. You know, whether they move up in the draft, that's the other question.
That's a pretty crappy turn of events. Get into the playoffs with your horrendous record, but you can't – you know, you have to move back in draft order because you're right. A playoff team, seeding. Because even though they finished behind a lot of other teams in record because they made it to the playoffs, they got dropped down in seeding. Correct. So what are they, like, you know, 20-something probably, right?
Yeah, they're 20-something in the draft. They're picking.
Meanwhile, they should probably be like 12.
Exactly. But listen, that's what happens when you make the playoffs, man. It's just what it is. It's just what
happens
it
when you make the playoffs at 6-10.
Who do you think the next quarterback shoe is to drop? Is it Darnold?
I mean,
with the
Alex
Jets?
Smith is probably going to find a team.
You're gonna pick up Alex Smith maybe as a backup. I don't know.
As a backup.
With that leg, I don't know that you play him.
But he's gonna find a team.
Yeah.
He's gonna certainly find a team before this Wilson Watson stuff.
Yeah.
Shakes out. I think Alex Smith will be signed somewhere.
Isn't that crazy, though, that Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson might get moved? It's incredible.
Does he go back to the Niners?
Who's that? Deshaun?
Alex Smith.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
They need help there. And now we also got to see what's going to happen with Matt Ryan.
Yeah, I think he's gonna play, but I think Atlanta's going to draft a quarterback and have him sit behind Ryan for another year. How old is Matt Ryan? Matt Ryan's 36. He's 35, 36. It's not like he's washed up.
No.
Yeah, it's a lot of musical chairs in the NFL as far as the quarterback position goes. But
one of them happening in Philadelphia, and we'll bring on our guest talk to him on his thoughts about that.
Of his beloved Eagles, another Eagles fan on the show tonight.
Yep. But right now, let's welcome in our new guest. He is the founder of Wager Champs. Please welcome Ryan Vati. Ryan.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Did I get it right? Vati? What is it?
Vati.
All right. Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Ryan, thanks for coming out tonight, man.
Thanks for having me. Really excited to be here.
Awesome. Well, since we're already on the topic of the quarterback carousel, which is the NFL, no other league just trades players left and right like the NFL does. And that's what makes fantasy football so exciting. But we'll get into fantasy and we'll get into, obviously, all this wager stuff as we go down the line. What's your thoughts on that Carson Wentz news a few weeks ago and him moving on?
Yeah, the whole situation really bummed me out because I was a big Carson Wentz fan. He had that one really great season for us, but the time was right to move on, and I'm excited to see what Jalen Hurts can bring.
I think he'll do good with the Colts. I think he will give them a nice little presence there behind pretty great offensive line right now. Jonathan Taylor back there leading that running game and a couple of stud wide receivers. I think he'll do good. Obviously, reuniting with Frank Reich will definitely help Carson Wentz possibly win comeback player of the year. It's definitely in the cards there. And see what Jalen Hurts can do. I'm still a little bummed out about the whole end of the season sitting Hurts and costing the Giants a shot at the playoffs. But you know what? Yeah. They don't have the Washington football team's 10 spots back in the draft like they're dealing with now. But
that was an embarrassing moment for there to be an Eagles fan for sure.
So did you think that he was going to go with the Bears? Did you have a feeling that Foles was going to come back when they were talking about that? And would you have wanted Foles to come back?
Foles won us a Super Bowl, so I'd love him here. But I really do think we need to rebuild right now. And we need to see something new. So I'm really excited about Jalen Hurts. I think he can be a real weapon for us. And we need to surround him with some young receivers. That's what we really need.
You got a decent amount of receivers there. So how did you become an Eagles fan living in Connecticut, growing up in Connecticut?
Yeah, that's a great question. So where I live in Connecticut, it's an even mix between Patriots fans and Giants fans, like pretty much right down the middle, 50-50. And I guess I just wanted to be different. So somehow, I don't even remember, when I was really young, 5 or 6 years old, I chose the Eagles. I stuck with them. And then I proceeded to watch the Giants and the Patriots win Super Bowl after Super Bowl. Obviously, that was pretty brutal as for to be one of the only fans not to experience winning a Super Bowl. But we finally got ours a couple years ago. So,
yeah, that probably would have been a little lonely.
Ryan, thanks for coming on. I wanted to ask you, we talk about fan experience and Eagles fan. What was it like for you? You just said you saw the Patriots win Super Bowls. You saw the Giants win Super Bowls. So what was that feeling like for you the moment the Philadelphia Eagles won their first Super Bowl?
It was amazing. It was amazing, especially that because it came against the Patriots, and I know so many Patriots fans just made it even more special. But yeah, that was the first pro sports team I've ever had win a championship. And yeah, I just can't even describe the feeling.
Nah, that's incredible. And also, now you're in Arizona right now. You're an Arizona State fan. You're a huge Arizona State fan. When did you start? Was it when you got to college that you became a big Arizona State fan, or did you follow the team prior to that?
Yeah, so I never had any affiliation with Arizona State before. I came out here for school, came out here in 2017, and they're not great, but still just fell in love with going to the games, tailgating the games, just being part of the fan experience and part of that stadium atmosphere. So,
and have you run into Coach Herman Edwards out there by any chance?
No, I wish. He's awesome.
Yeah.
We spoke a couple of months ago. You were hard pressed in finding people that were Eagles fans out there. Have you run across any people that are fans of the Eagles out there?
Yeah, I have one buddy that I watched the Eagles games with, and it obviously makes it better to, when you're a fan of a team, it can get lonely watching the games alone. So it's nice to be able to watch a game with someone else that has a rooting interest in it too. I know you guys know all about that, but
yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah, of course. I've told you about playing the field, and we want to make it easier for people like yourself coming from Connecticut all the way to Arizona, Eagles fan. Just and by default, you're already with none of the same fans in Connecticut by being an Eagles fan. So what was it like being Giants and Patriots for two Super Bowls? Where did you go? Who did you root for in those Super Bowls? Because obviously you got the Giants, which are in your division. You know, bitter rival, but obviously you got the Patriots that are just winning all the time. So I'm curious as to where you go in the heat of giant Patriot country.
Yeah, so it's even crazier than that. My mom is a Patriots fan, grew up a Patriots fan. My dad and my brother are Giants fans. So I was completely all alone and on an island. And I watched the game just to watch the game, but I had no rooting interest. I wish there was a way for both of those teams to lose. So, yeah, I was completely in an island in that one.
How did it play out? So you just said you just picked the Eagles out of the blue. Was it like DeSean Jackson and that miraculous comeback against the Giants that really got you hooked? What was that moment that really got you hooked? Was it Mark Wahlberg in Invincible or something? Because I know you were a kid around the time of that movie. So what was it that drew you to the Eagles?
I generally can't remember the exact moment I became an Eagles fan, but the first pro athlete that I ever fell in love with was Donovan McNabb. He was the first sports jersey I ever owned. And once I became an Eagles fan, I was set. I was set in stone. I'm not exactly sure how it happened, but watching Donovan McNabb growing up was great. And then the Michael Vick era was fun at times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. So let me ask you this. You wager champs, and we're going to get into that. But I want to know, when were you first introduced into sports betting, and when did that start catching your attention?
Yeah, so freshman, actually might have been senior year of high school, I first started having friends that were sports betting, and back then it wasn't as big of a thing as now. So it's kind of, what are you guys doing? And then I was rooting for it through them. They would tell me about their bets and I was intrigued by it. And then I started betting a little bit when I got to college. And I had some friends that bet. Yeah, it was just around that senior year of high school, freshman year of college, which for me is only a few years ago. But yeah, it's just been one of my interests. And I don't really bet I never was big on betting like heavy money into sports or anything, maybe just a couple bucks here or there.
Right.
But it was just the whole, it just made the games more fun. It created a more engaging atmosphere. It was a fun thing to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. I got friends who are, they go to FanDuel all the time in Jersey. They go, once they go over the bridge, they're excited. So where did you come up with the concept of like fantasy, like a fantasy betting, like a fantasy football kind of thing for sports betting? Like, how did that come about?
Yeah, so I originally thought of the idea because I had a few friends in college. They're still my friends, but a few friends who would sports bet. And we'd always talk trash to each other. We'd compete with each other. Like, I'd pick one game, he'd pick another game, and we'd be like, oh, I'm up $10 this week, and you're down 10, and just trash talking like that. And I wanted to make it easy and fun to compete with your friends in sports betting.
Okay.
Yeah, awesome. So, you know, talk to us about, now, is the app live yet? You're still developing, right?
Yeah, yeah. So the app's been live since December.
Perfect. So walk us through where to find it, and then when you finally download it, what do you go through as far as the onboarding?
Yeah, so right now it's a web app. It works pretty well on your mobile device, so you can play on it in both, but you can't download it yet on the app stores. That's coming.
Yeah.
But you can find it at www.waiterchamps.com, and basically you create an account completely for free. And right now our main feature is our public contests. So these contests last for 1 month. You go in and it looks like a real sports book. So you have the odds for all the games and with little tutorials for people that don't know how to bet yet. And you can make any bets you want with a bankroll of fake or play money. And when you make your picks, you can track your picks. You can track your picks in the standing and see how you're doing compared to everybody else. See how you're doing compared to your friends. And at the end, the winner of the contest, the end of the month, the winner of the contest receives a free custom jersey.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Nice. Okay, how many entries are allowed into a single room, I guess you would say? So you said it lasts for a month. Is there just one room for everybody, or are there any kind of sponsored rooms floating about there?
Yeah, so right now we're just doing we have our one room that's a month long. What we're going to be launching very soon, and I'm glad you asked, is a way for people to create their own contests and host their friends or host whoever they want. So they can create a public contest. They can create a private contest with just their friends. We're introducing a way for sports bars to create their own contests so that people can go into a sports bar as they're watching games, place bets on the games, and compete in that way.
Man, that's incredible. That is an amazing concept. I lost my train of thought because I was thinking of something I was going to ask you, but how far has it come along? Like, how many employees do you have? Are you looking for funding? Are you looking to take this to another level? How is that progressing so far?
Yeah, so right now it's just me and a partner who's my CTO, Chad. He's been awesome in developing everything and moving it along at a great speed. So the stage we're at is really testing the concept. We have about 100 registered users, a bunch of whom are active, and we've gotten really good feedback and engagement. So now our next step is to introduce that way for people to create their own custom contests and for bars to create their own contests. Yeah. And once we have...
Sorry, go ahead. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Once we have that underway and once we're able to test that, the goal is to show the data to investors and try to receive funding based off that.
Right. That's incredible. What can you bet on? Be NFL, NBA, major, just like the four major sports, or is it a plethora of everything, you know, UFC, yeah, so whatever?
Right now you can bet on all of it. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So all those, even yeah. Even if I wanted to bet on, let's say, I don't know, the next tennis tournament coming up or a soccer game or whatever, I can bet on that and put that, be in a room for that.
Yeah, we have. Yeah. So it's when you go into the contest and it's a sports book.
Yeah.
So you can go and choose your sport and you can, for the same contest, you can bet on a tennis game, a basketball game, a college basketball game, a college football game, anything you want. We have prop bets. So you can bet on over under LeBron James 27 points.
Wow.
So we have it all.
Yeah.
Awesome. And so you mentioned about bars creating their own games. So I can have a playing the field sponsored game.
Exactly.
The winner gets like a playing the field jersey or a playing the field lifetime membership or something.
Exactly.
Everybody out there, if you want to do that, let's go. We're gonna keep talking to Ryan and make this happen for everybody. Yeah. You know,
that's awesome. We'll definitely get you set up with that.
Yeah, no, I would definitely want to do that. I want to for sure help you out. So let me just share this right now. Let me see here. So just going to go to your site real quick just to show everybody here. So you got the main screen right here.
This is how you log in, everybody.
So you got 29 days and 40 minutes left in this public contest.
Right, okay, right.
So, all right. Now, where do you get your data from? Do you put it in manually, or you have a certain service that you use?
Yeah, we have a data provider that we use, so we don't have to input any of the odds or the betting lines ourselves.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, no, I definitely want to get that playing the field contest going when you guys open that avenue up there.
It should be really soon, so I'll definitely let you know.
Awesome. Yeah. So where do you? You know, so you're looking for funding with the data. Like, where do you see you taking this in 5 years or so? Is there a next step that you're looking to go to?
Yeah, I really think this can be the number one free-to-play sports game on the market.
Wow.
And you guys know how big sports betting is getting right now. It's
huge.
Exploding. It's everywhere. ESPN is embracing it. Buffalo Wild Wings is embracing it. Every corner of the sports world is embracing it. Mm-hmm. And as sports betting goes up, free-to-play games are also going to go up, because free-to-play games are the way for these sports books to introduce their potential audiences to sports betting. So mm-hmm. I envision happening down the road is a partnership between us and one of the sports books, where people can start playing on our game for free. They compete, and then we become sponsored by one of those sports books.
Yeah.
With free-to-play, you would think I haven't delved into it, but can people under the age of 21 legally play these free-to-play games?
Yeah.
You know, so anyone could download like a fake casino app where they could play fake roulette and fake blackjack. There's no stipulations as to who's allowed to play those, because it's not for real money, but you get them roped in. And then obviously when they turn of age, the sports books capitalize, because now they can bet for real money. And kind of like drinking O'Doul's and then moving up to
right. So our platform right now is 18 plus. It's just to be safe. We're not trying to hook any 10-year-old kids on sports gambling or anything.
Well,
like that.
No, definitely not 10-year-old.
One thing that we do have the advantage of being free to play is we are completely legal in all 50 states. So it doesn't matter where you live, you can play. And obviously, real sports books can't do that. Daily fantasy sports companies can't do that. So we're really targeting first the states that don't have legal sports betting, because they're the states in a couple years that people are going to really want to take advantage of the free to play. And then the sports books are going to want an early presence there as well. And that can happen through us.
And so let me ask you this, Rain. Right now, it's obviously it's not real money. Will you get to a point where people are going to start gambling with real money?
It's possible that down the road, after we have a lot of users and we've exhausted all that we can do with free to play, we'll think about going that route. But there's obviously a lot of licensing and legal hurdles that comes into taking real money bets. So that would be well down the road, after we have investors, after we have a lot more users. So that's not something I'm too focused on yet, but it's a possibility down the road.
With sport, like you said, sports betting is just a booming industry. It's just going to be a $1 billion industry. As far as what you do, are you the only company right now that does specifically like what you do, free to play and fantasy sports betting kind of thing?
Yeah, so we're the only place that allows you to bet on as many sports as we do in the setting like a sports book.
Yeah.
And we're also going to be the only website like this that allows you to have your custom contest against your friends.
So you're like the Tesla of sports betting right now. You're just
yeah. Right? I mean, I'll take that.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Hey, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Go ahead, Mike.
Look at that. Rick's dropping the
No, because I'm just thinking, when I remember, look, Bitcoin came out 2007, it was like a cent, right? 2 cents. Nobody really bought. Now look at it now.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
Tesla was like at $2 when it first came out. It was losing money, wasn't doing it, and look at it now. Do you think your company's on that kind of trajectory?
I would take being one millionth of Elon Musk. So I'm not putting myself nearly in that category yet.
I mean, but you could be definitely a pioneer and innovator in terms of the sports betting and the free play that you're doing.
Yeah, I think definitely within this space we can be an innovator, and I think there's a lot of opportunity to grow and there's a lot of opportunity to partner with sports books and sports bars down the road.
Yeah.
But yeah. Elon Musk is a little above me right now.
Yeah, a little. But he started from somewhere.
Just a little, but it doesn't mean he can't get there.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean he can't get there, though. So you said all the major sports, but what can you bet on? Can you do props? Can you do like halftime bets and things of that nature? Talk to us, you know, what is available for people to, what kind of rooms can people build eventually when you get that going?
Yeah, so right now people can bet on, for all sports, they can bet on spreads, they can bet on over-unders, and they can bet on straight up who's going to win the game. And then for the major sports, so NBA, NFL, NHL, and MLB, they can bet on any player prop. And then we're also close to instituting live lines. So people will be able to bet on games live as they're happening, and that's something I'm really excited about.
Okay. All right. Very cool. Very cool. And how about those gimmicky bets that people are just that they love, like the not the season sports aficionado, but those people that like those Super Bowl pools or just Monday Night Football pools, just for like fun, where people could just go in there and just try to compete against friends and not have to worry about losing any money. I just think it's good for like a fan experience, fan engagement type of purpose, you know, where you could just get people just mingling with each other and playing around with something that they don't have to, you know, lose their shirt over.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, so for the Super Bowl, we did have some fun props like that, Gatorade, some different commercial bets, like what the first commercial would be, things like that. So we also, I'm not sure how familiar you guys are with sports betting, you guys are, but we do have parlays.
For
people that don't know, people can make bets on a bunch of different games, and if they win the bet, they win a lot more and climb up in the standings higher. But you have to win all the parts of the parlay for it to win or it loses. Mm-hmm. People have loved making parlays. Those are easily our most popular bet just because they're so fun to make, and it's hard to make them in a real sports book because you're risking a lot of money for a low chance to win. But when there's no risk in it, people love being able to make parlays.
Yeah. You know, parlays are tough. They're tough to hit.
Yeah.
Especially those five teamers, man. Those are rough.
Yep.
Now, are you guys based in Arizona? Or where's your base at?
Yeah, I'm in Arizona. My partner is in South Dakota.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So
now, did you go to school with your partner? Or how did you guys collaborate?
We met on LinkedIn. Yeah, funny enough.
LinkedIn is incredible, man. It is incredible.
I was looking for somebody that had my passion for sports and had some development and coding experience and that was willing to take this risk and go in with me. And it took a lot of searching and a lot of cold reaching out to people and cold messaging people on LinkedIn. Yeah. I finally found Chad and it's been great so far.
That LinkedIn is amazing. Like, we've met so many people through LinkedIn, like reaching out to people and interviewing them and stuff like that. It's just been incredible. Let me ask you this about sports betting. Obviously, it's booming. Do you think companies that are going to get into sports betting eventually going to be public companies? I mean, do you think some of these companies are going to be on the New York Stock Exchange? People are going to be able to buy public FanKings. I think what is it? FanDuel and stuff like that?
Yeah.
DraftKings?
DraftKings has their own. And then FanDuel, I'm not sure.
But are more
think, with Penn?
Now. Yeah, right. I was going to say Penn National definitely has one.
But are there going to be more public companies when it comes to sports betting?
Yeah, if it keeps going with the trend it's going, I think the biggest ones right now are on the stock exchange. I guess that's a decision for each company to make on their own. It's probably never going to be the right move for a startup like mine. But
yours is going to be more private on the private equity side, like staying private and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think so. Okay. But I think it makes a lot of sense for the big sports books, FanDuel and DraftKings. Yeah, it's definitely one of those two that are doing.
I think
really
it's DraftKings.
Well
the yeah. They're just too big to be private companies. They're just people are.
Yeah, crazy. And I think now that they're at that stage, they're going to start acquiring companies, including free to play companies to improve their user bases. So
you're an incubator.
Yes,
DraftKings. And FanDuel and the sports books that are out there. You know what? Hey, it makes sense. You can't knock the hustle. And if people want to bet and they want to go to the big leagues, then let them go to the big leagues. Well, you'll definitely have those Now, what is the minimum sports betting age? Is it 18 or is it 21?
It's 21.
It's 21.
I think it's 21, yeah.
No, it is 21. I don't think it's 18. Yeah. I don't think it's, yeah.
Yeah, because you can't get into a casino, at least in the United States,
right,
until you're 21. So
I think it's 18 for playing daily fantasy sports, I believe.
Gotcha. That makes sense. And we're in New York, so we're one of those states that cannot play on the traditional sports book. So we save a little bit of money because of that, or we don't make money, exactly, whichever way you want to look at it.
Yeah.
But I'm one of those guys that's gonna put down a couple of bucks on a five-team parlay and hit three or four of them. And then you have those days where you're playing in this office pool, you're picking up against the spread, and you pick 12 teams against the spread, correct, and you didn't have any money on a parlay.
Exactly. I think the person that won our second contest, he ended up finishing with like in the thousands of the play money. I think it was like 12,000 of the play money. And wow. I emailed him like telling him to claim his prize. And he emailed me back joking that if he had bet that all with real money, he would have lost every single penny. Because whenever he bets with real money.
Isn't it so messed up how that mm-hmm. happens?
Exactly.
But you know what? You know what I think it is? It's because you overthink. When you're putting the real money in there, you're double guessing whether you click the top team or the bottom team. And you're trying to overanalyze it. But when it's like there's no skin in the game, you're just going on basic first instinct, basic gut feelings. And then you just – the best I've ever done sports betting was I did a teaser. But I placed the bet at 6 a.m., like – literally right out of bed, right before work on a Sunday. And I'm like, I just picked 10 teams. I'm like, okay, that looks good. Yes. And then I'm sitting there at work on my flip phone, no less, and texting the whatever the NFL updates or whatever the case is. And I went 6 for 6 in the 1 o'clock games. And I was like, oh my goodness. And needless to say, by Monday night, I won the whole thing. But I literally placed the bet 10 teams in 5 minutes, and it was all gut feelings, and I didn't second guess anything. But I feel like that's just the way you got to do it. You just got to go based off the gut feelings, and that's why football sometimes is annoying with betting, because you have a whole week to sit there and analyze every single factor.
Yep, definitely. And that's how it is for March Madness too, coming up. That bracket's out for a while. You know what the odds for the first games are, like 4 or 5 days in advance, and people just overthink it, and the sports books make a lot of money.
Yeah.
Are you going to give away $1 billion to the March Madness winner?
We'll see what I can come up with. I need to check my bank account on that one.
Come on, Elon. Let's go.
Let me ask you this. What do you say to the people like with DraftKings and FanDuel who say, listen, these companies are great, but they're encouraging kids and young people to gamble? And gambling can turn into a disease. What do you say to people like that in regards to your company? What do you say to the naysayers out there of people like yourself who are trying to do good things with their company like this?
Yeah, I think, first of all, since we're completely risk-free and we have tutorials all over our site, I think we teach people how to do it in a safe manner. We don't want people just going in blind to a real sports book, because with how much it's advertised and how much it's on ESPN and all these big media platforms, people are going to sports bet. They're going to do it anyway. We want people to learn how to do it first. We want people to get comfortable with being in a sports book. We want people to be comfortable with the different terminology before just diving into DraftKings, all these confusing numbers, just betting their money away. So I think we give people a way to really get comfortable with it before diving right into it.
Okay. So final one for me, who is your favorite to win the NBA title? What's the line on that?
I mean, I don't know, honestly. I don't know what the favorite is on our site. I think it's probably the Lakers, right?
Okay. Yeah. That's what I'm figuring. The Lakers right now. But okay. Listen, man, all I got to say is I'm excited for you, man, because this is, like I said, it's the disruptors, it's the innovators, it's people like yourself who think of different things, who come up with these ideas that just go on to grander scales. So I'm wishing you all the best in the world, man. When does the app come out? For our people who are viewers who watch our show and would be interested in signing up, can you give us a date when the app is going to come out?
Yeah, so people can go on right now and join our public contest.
Okay.
I don't have an exact date for when we'll be able to get you guys to create your own group for all your podcast listeners and anybody on your platform, but that should be within the next month. That's our goal.
All right.
But we'll definitely let you know when that happens.
Yeah, let us know so we can put it out there. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, very nice. I'm trying to sign up for one now, but I'll do it after. But you also have a blog on here with some advice on betting in general and even just on certain bets that you could place and whatnot. And you do have the disclaimer here. So it's 100% entertainment purposes. And if you have a problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. That's good that you're going out there and you're putting out those disclaimers. And I think it's a really fun concept. I can't wait to have a playing the field room and have people start playing for money and hopefully win some prizes. And everyone out there, just tell us, what do you want us to put down for a prize? We'll put a jersey, lifetime membership to the app. You let us know what you want and we'll get that rolling. But until then, Ryan, thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you for coming on. It was great.
It was a pleasure, and we'll definitely stay in touch on this and otherwise as well. But you have a great night, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you so much for having me. Had a blast.
Thank you for coming on, man. Awesome.
Absolutely. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
There you have it.
All right. Playing the field.
Let me tell you something, dude. That is ingenious when you think about it. Like, everybody does fantasy football. Like fantasy football, like fantasy betting. It's like, why didn't I think of that? It's incredible. It's incredible what these kids are coming up. And it's just he's coming in at the right time where sports betting is going to – eventually it's going to be legal in all 50 states, dude. It's just going to happen. New York is dragging his feet. He can't stop it. New York is dragging his feet. And it needs to legalize it.
You know, certain states could stop COVID. It couldn't.
Exactly. But New York State needs to legalize it. They need to get it out there. And get it going. So for our viewers, go to Wager Champs. You're going to go to www.wagerchamps.com. It's risk-free sports betting. Sign up. You can play now. You can also register. And they got some free game models. It's a pretty cool site. Check it out and sign up. And enjoy some non-money sports gambling.
Look at here. All
there
right.
It is so right there.
You got Aussie. You got baseball. You got all these different sports. So let's see here. What do we got? There's no football going on right now, but let's see hockey. All right. So
there you go.
You see the lines. I don't know anything about hockey, but I'm going to put my money on the Capitals.
There you go.
And let's see. What's the most I can wager here? Whatever. 25. Sounds good. All right. Got it on the Capitals. By 1.5, plus 1.5, actually. Okay.
All right. There you go.
The Capitals are that bad that they're underdog to the Bruins? I thought the Capitals were good.
I don't know. I have no idea. That's interesting.
Yeah, no, but yeah, I'm gonna play around with that.
Yeah, sure. Man. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Knicks are at halftime down 4, 51-47 to the Spurs. They're playing well. Hopefully they can get these next two wins and then head into the All-Star break with some momentum. So we'll wait and see on that. But what else we got going on in sports, Mike? A little losing notes before we sign off for tonight.
We got spring training is here, people.
It is here.
Baseball is back. The Mets are 1-1. The Yankees won a game or two, I believe. Are they 1-1 or 2-1? Something.
They're 1-1.
The record doesn't matter, obviously.
It doesn't matter.
They're getting their swings. They got shut out against the Marlins. The Mets got shut out against the Marlins, and then they beat the Astros today or yesterday. But you know what? They're putting in their licks, and soon enough, we're going to be in the heat of opening day and baseball season just in a few weeks. So definitely excited for that. Excited to hear our guest from last week, Wayne Randazzo, calling some play-by-plays in just a few weeks. But on the topic of the Mets, we have to talk about the fact that there is belief that the Mets and the Indians both were aware of the transgressions of Mr. Mickey Callaway. A Mets former employee, said that he had a certain nickname. Let's just preface it by saying blank pick Mick. So you could fill in the blank there. And it's really unfortunate. And the fact that they I don't know, man. If they knew about this, like, what are teams going to put in place to, because it's not right. No matter how you look at it, it is not right. And there needs to be some kind of accountability somewhere. And how deep did it go? Like, obviously, you have workplaces where people know something is going on.
Yeah.
But they don't tell the people that they're supposed to be telling because whatever, snitches get stitches or whatever route you want to take on why you're not going to tell people. But if somebody's doing something wrong, you got to say it. But you know, we can't really expect people to do what they don't want to do.
Look, man, if one person knew, a lot of people knew. I just think this is a simple fact of nobody wanted to say anything. It's that old boys club. And I said it a few shows ago. You need to start holding these executives and these coaches to the standard that you do players when you draft them. If you're going to hire these guys, do deep background checks. Go back 10, 20, 30 years if you have to. Any allegation that's come up, immediately scrutinize it, immediately uncover it, immediately investigate it. Because if it comes out like this, it looks worse. And I feel bad for Terry Francona because he looks worse. Now it looks like he knew something because he was his pitching coach and he covered up for him. And the Indians look bad. And it looks bad for baseball as a whole because it goes back to that whole old boys club thing and everybody covers for everybody. And enough's enough. They have Major League Baseball has got to change the way that they vet these candidates, period. Sandy Alderson looks bad here. And Mickey Callaway looks like just a perv, man. He just looks like a grimy dude, right? Like just any woman he sees, he preys on. If I'm a father and I have daughters, I wouldn't want my kids around this guy. This is like a weird dude. I don't know, but it needs to come. It needs to be changed. And I think one of the things that baseball can do is start getting some senior women in some senior executive positions. And up there with Rob Manfred, because they need to start changing the way they see things up there. They need to. Not only in the top executive offices of ball clubs, but in Major League Baseball as a whole, because the mentality needs to change up there. As far as how women are treated, how they should be respected, things need to change. It's 2021, for God's sakes, and this stuff like that keeps happening. And that nobody knew? Come on, man. It's just, I find it hard to believe that we didn't know. All of a sudden, nobody knew, right? Come on, man. This guy has a reputation. Everybody knew. They just didn't want to say anything.
Yeah, and he's suspended from the Angels. But how, if this is going around, and I get it, they're going through an investigation and more things are popping up. But the Angels are a Disney team.
Exactly.
Team. So, like, you can't, I don't care if his name is Mickey. He's got to go. There's only room for one Mickey, and it's the one that doesn't show his, you know what?
Yeah.
It's the one that doesn't show his dickie.
Exactly.
It's just, they just need to get rid of him, in my opinion, and I understand, you know, innocent until proven guilty. So you go through the due diligence, you do your investigation. But right now, it's looking like a lot of things are coming to light here. How much more are you going to wait to find before you make some kind of executive decision? Because if you don't set an example,
nothing changes. Exactly.
And nothing changes. That's what we need to get away from. It cannot be accepted. It cannot be acceptable. If somebody does something wrong, then that's it. People get second chances. They change things up. But right now, I don't see another option as to...
No, he's got to go.
Set an example for why it cannot happen.
He's got to go.
And it's unfortunate because we also have people in ownership positions in some of the leagues that have had allegations of, you know, certain misconducts and stuff. And just things need to be a little bit more tight-knit, and people need to realize this is not acceptable behavior.
Yeah.
And you said if you had a daughter, I do. I have
daughters. Yeah, you too.
So, this can't be acceptable behavior at all. There's no doubt about it. And Mickey, see you later.
Yeah, exactly. And there were reports that this was starting. There was a report of in 2017, for God's sakes, 4 years ago. And you're gonna and nobody knew. No, come on, man. Enough's enough. Drop the hammer. Just get rid of the guy already. Just get rid of the guy and set an example to the rest of the people in baseball that this behavior is not acceptable. It's just not, man. It's not. It's creepy, man. Some of the things he was doing to female reporters and just, I don't know. But let's hope they do the right thing. Let's hope they fire him and get to the bottom of like why this stuff wasn't vetted. They need to get to the bottom of stuff like this. Like, why was this guy? Mm-hmm. Think about this. They knew about stuff like this in 17. He got hired for a manager's job. Then he gets hired for a pitching coach's job. Like, how does he keep getting jobs when all this is going on and everybody's just, oh, I don't know what happened. Like, that needs to be addressed. There needs to be an investigation as to why he kept getting jobs after there were whispers and allegations of some of the shit that was going on.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. And I just don't understand why even do it in the first place. That, you know,
power.
Like,
just power, just because he felt like he could and get away with it. That's why. He's a pitching coach. He's a manager. Look at me. I can do it. I can get away with it.
But if you're trying to, you know, flirt with somebody or whatever you're trying to do, you can't just be like a normal person. I don't know. You got to go to the extremes and just send vulgar images and vulgar text messages. I don't know. I guess I look at it differently.
Yeah.
But doesn't he have a daughter too?
Yeah, man. He's got a wife and kids. Yeah.
I don't get it. I really don't get it. But I guess I'm looking at it a lot differently than you might. But
it's just, not with you, man.
It should not be acceptable. And they should really, you know what we need? We need a female commissioner for the sports.
Yeah.
If anything's going to get done, that's how it's going to get done.
That's how it's going to get done. Yeah. I can think of quite a few that can do the job. Listen, we have female governors. We got a female vice president. Why not? Why not? It's due, man. It's long overdue to have a woman in one of these four major sports. Because again, change is inevitable and you need different, it just needs to happen.
Or you change it up. Why does it have to be one person commissioning the league? Like, why can't it be like checks and balances like our country has? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, but
I
mean, a lot doesn't get done. It's different. Remember, there's collective bargaining, there's unions, there's a lot going on there. And so remember, the commissioners, they all represent the owners. They're representing the owner. He or she should represent the owners, and the union represents the players.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, but they need to figure out something. We're living in the year 2021. Yeah. So there's no excuses. Like, you got to get with the times. And is it going to get to the point where they're going to have wiretaps on people's phones just to go through these background investigations and try and vet these candidates because nobody's taking matters into their own hands and doing it on their own level? Like,
well, I don't think it's going to get to that point, but I think it's going to get to the point where the vetting process is definitely going to change. It is definitely going to change all around and in professional sports as a whole. It's definitely going to change. 100%.
Yeah, has to. It has to. But, you know, let's see how this shakes out. But it just needs to stop. And obviously, you had Jared Porter. You got Mickey Callaway. It's just.
Who's next? Who is next? That's the question.
Who is next? Yeah. Because there is going to be a next, probably.
Exactly.
And he has no. Trying to see. Does he have a daughter?
I don't know.
I'm not seeing anything here. Yeah. But all right. Oh. Yeah. Enough about Mickey Callaway. What do we got? News and notes. We talked about Alex Smith. Talked about J.J. Watt. All the NFL news. We got the NBA All-Star game over the weekend, but we could talk about that more on Thursday. Yep. How are the Knicks doing over there? How are you?
Knicks are down 9. They were down 2. It looks like San Antonio just went on a bit of a run here. We'll see how it plays out. But yeah, man, this was a good one. Another good show.
It was a great show. We have another great show in store for you Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, Fan Experience TV. And this was episode 63. See you for episode 64, everybody.
Good night, everybody.